In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week I got a call. I get actually a lot of calls like this. And if you're like me, if it's a number you don't know, you probably just let it ring through. I get a whole bunch like that. But this particular call, the person left a message. And it was something that, you know, I've heard many, many times before. It was someone who needed money, who, you know, was in a terrible situation. And I mean, goodness, every call that I get is like that. The circumstances seem so extraordinary, so difficult, that sometimes they're even hard to believe because you don't really know, although I still think you should help them, but you don't know really where the money's going to go towards. And this particular person left the message, and I called him back, and there was no answer. And so I went on with whatever I was doing, and then he called back yet again, and this time I wasn't able to get it. So a day went by, and I finally called him, and he answered the phone and said, "Yeah, this is the problem that I've got. I've come from Indiana, and I've been here for about half a year or so, a little bit longer than half a year, and I, because of something that had happened, he had lost all of his ID, and he had welfare money and some other money that was with the government that he couldn't get because he couldn't find an ID. So I said, well, look, I mean, here in our alms box, you know, I looked and we had $250-some. I said, you know, will that help you? And then the man said, well, you know, I don't need all of that. If you could just, you know, give me some that would help, because I've got to get a ride. I've got to go down to some office and get all this straightened up. And I said, okay, well, fine. And he said, well, just give me a call sometime. And I said, no, I'm here at the church right now. I'm in this area. And I won't be here again for a couple of days. So if you could, you know, if we could do it now, that'd be great. And he said, fine. So I said, where are you? And he said, well, I'm right down here off of 20 Lee Street heading into Buford. Those of you who know it, you turn left when you get out to 20. First right is Lee Street. He said, take another right immediately after that and go down that road which dead ends. I went, okay, well, sounds a little strange, but I'll do that. And so I went down there, and this man was waiting for me on the street. And he had a beautiful dog with him, too, that was obviously his companion. And he came to the window and started talking to me a bit. And as it turns out, he's been living in those woods back there for 7 months, all through the winter, with that wonderful dog that was so close to him that he tied him up to walk over to my car. The dog was yelping because he wanted the master to be there with him. And he said, look, you know, I'm so glad you came. I've called so many people, and everybody gives me another number to call. This is how well our system works here in Georgia. He said, give me another phone number to call, another phone number, and another, and another, another, and on and on. He said, you're the first person that has answered me in 7 months. He said, I think you're the light at the end of the tunnel. And so I gave him $150 since he didn't want the whole thing. And I said, look, you know, take this. God bless you. I don't see how you've managed all this time. And this man was someone who was, you know, he looked like just a really nice guy, probably his late 30s, early 40s. That had come up on hard times. But yet I thought, you know, goodness, so many times we ignore these sorts of people. So many times we, you know, we let them go. We probably, you know, maybe 8 times out of 10, there are people that are wanting drug money. That's just my guess. But past experience kind of tells me this. But it's the 1 or 2 out of 10 that's so important. To help these people. And I'm gonna try and get in touch with him again this week to see how he's doing. But when he came out like that, I thought, my goodness, this is coming up on the Sunday of the cross. And it got me thinking about how many crosses there are in life in general. Everybody has to bear them. Every single one of us in one way or the other is going to have to bear it at one time or another. And so many people in this world today, they have difficulty bearing it because they have absolutely no hope in anything. It's just life is beating them down and they have nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to turn to. They're completely lost, or even worse, dependent on the state or the federal government or something like that, which is 9 out of 10 times is probably going to let you down too. But the reason, one of the reasons, because there are actually many, why we bring out the cross at this time in Great Lent is to remind ourselves that as Christians, especially Orthodox Christians who venerate the cross, we don't have to have that same sense of lostness or despondency or hurt or pain, because the Lord gives us the strength to bear it. The cross becomes not a burden, but something meaningful in our lives. It is what unites us to Him by carrying that cross. He said His yoke was easy and His burden was light. And I know many people hear that and they think, oh, bull. That's not true at all. It's very, very difficult. But yet, those people are not embracing the cross as He did. Because if His life tells us anything, He went willingly to His death. He willingly took up this cross. It was no easier for Him in His human nature as it is for us. It was something extremely difficult for Him. Yet He went forward and He did it. And so we have no excuses when the crosses come. And they are going to come. And for many, they already have. We don't have to be like this poor man that I saw living in the woods. And by the way, I didn't give him a big Orthodox pitch, okay? There are some churches that they'll help you out all right, but you got to listen to the spiel first. And just like the apostle tells us, how can you say to someone who is starving, go, be warm and filled with the Spirit? No, you can't. You simply help them. And that is the grace of God. That is the teaching of the church. That is the deepest theology, by handing something to them they can actually use that can actually be of some help. All the words in the world are not going to make any greater impact than actually looking into the eyes of another human being and doing something for them. But what does the gospel tell us today? You know, there's steps to all these things too that we have to take in order to follow Christ. What does He say? Whosoever will come after Me, okay? Meaning, this is the ground right here that you want to follow Me. That's the first thing. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow Me. If you get the order mixed up, you're going to have difficulty. Because to be able to take up one's cross means that there has to be a certain amount of self-denial there first, or else it's going to be burdensome. It's going to be too much for you. But if you're already used to the idea of cutting off your own will, of denying yourself, of going out of the way to help other people, then that cross is going to be easier to bear. But it must be borne in order to follow Him. There's no other way, my dear brothers and sisters. There is no other way. If you want to call yourself an Orthodox Christian, you have to bear this cross. You can't get around it. And if you can bear it after preparing yourself to do so, then you can follow the Lord. Then, having removed the speck from your own eye, you are able to go out and remove it from everybody else's. But if anything in there gets mixed up or turned around, it's a prescription for absolute failure. It can't be done. So let us take up our cross so that we can be able to bear the crosses of others. We're supposed to do that as well. You've heard the saying, no man is an island. Well, we are all interconnected in this process that we call following the Lord. You can't do it alone. You have to have the strength that you find from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You have to have that. That's why we come to church, for goodness sake. Some people say, well, you know, I don't need to be there. I can pray at home. Well, yeah, great. Can you? Do you? That's the big question. But if you do that, you're not in physical proximity to those who are sharing the same body and blood of the Lord. And that is, as all of us, I am convinced, are going to find out one day at that great judgment how important these kinds of things actually are. The grace that is found in the community of believers, the grace that gets shared amongst each other, the power that we actually receive and too often just toss away when we leave the church. Because these things are all given to us freely when we assemble together. And they should give us strength to go out into the world and to meet others and help others, all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who does this before us and for us. The cross comes out today because it's a reminder also of where we are. We're at the midpoint of Lent. How many are attending the extra services? How many are doing the extra reading? How many are digging into the Gospels and the Epistles at this time of year? How many are denying themselves the way that the Holy Church says that we should during this time? This is the signpost. This is saying, okay, sleepers awake. You've wasted these 3 weeks. Now it's time to get on it and to do it and to stop making excuses, because there are so many of them that we all reach for so easily as to why we can't be doing these things. And I can tell you from my own experience that I do it as well. And I can also tell you from my own experience that it's all rubbish. There are no excuses. None. Not for Orthodox Christians, not during the most holy season of the year, not as we await the great and saving passion and resurrection of our Lord coming just a few weeks from now. So take this as a reminder, as a flare. You remember I told you back on the Sunday of Zacchaeus, the Sunday of Zacchaeus was like a flare being shot up saying, guess what? Lent's coming. Time to kind of prepare. We're not there yet, but sort of get ready. You know, time to wake up a little bit. Well, this is a flare also. But instead of being shot into the sky, it's being shot right at your stomach. This is the Lord saying, it's time. If you want to be with me, let me see your love via your sacrifice. Because, my dear brethren, we, for the most part, are not like this dear, wonderful soul that I met that's living out there in the woods. That hasn't happened to us. But the grace that he receives, unknown to all of us, because of the life circumstance that has been imposed on him, and he will not go without his reward, I'm convinced. We must also equal by the things that we can do ourselves during this season. So get strength from the cross. Get blessing from the cross. Get all the grace that the precious and life-giving cross, as we call it, because it has raised people from the dead. Take that strength into yourself now and turn and approach the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And put on, As St. Paul says, your spiritual armor, so that we could do battle with the wickedness in high places, with the unseen warfare constantly trying to drag us away. Do this, and even though there's just 3 weeks at Holy Week left in Lent, it could be the best one that you ever experience. Amen.